let's turn in our Bibles today to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And let's read the first portion of this. And I'll read it, and you guys can follow with me up here on the screens. This is a story that you're very familiar with, but I want to do some teaching out of this today because I think it will be helpful to you. How many need some help today? Okay. If you don't have your hands up, let's try it again. How many need some help today? You don't want, of course, we all need help. And God is going to help us today. And I love the teachings of Jesus because how many know Jesus was an awesome teacher in that when he taught, it was always practical in a practical application. Yeah. Amen. You know what? It is a bedrock of this church that we're going to teach the Word of God. And it's a bedrock of the church because we know people need help. And yes, praise God, we want people to accept Jesus in their hearts and come into the knowledge of God and come into the family of God. And that's great. But let me tell you about the teachings of Jesus Christ. They're not only helpful for when we die and we'll be able to be with our Heavenly Father forever, but they're also helpful for this earth. Can somebody say amen to this? So, and this teaching today is much like that. It's there's some practical, great applications for us today. Again, I'm reading from Luke 24, starting with the first verse. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices with them they had prepared. Jesus had just died on the cross. They're going to prepare the body. He had been taken off so quickly and put in the tomb. So they are gracious women who are serving Jesus even at his death. Verse 2, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day arise again? And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. Let me give you some context of what's going on here. These people's lives are about to be absolutely shaken to the root. Because at this point in time in Jerusalem, the Romans have come in. They've taken over. Now let me tell you about the Romans. The Romans had power, very, very powerful nation. The Romans had the power to wipe you out. But the Romans were willing, if you would follow their rules, not to wipe you out. That you could keep your culture, that you could keep your buildings, but it was still very oppressive. It was still very, very negative if you were the country that was being oppressed. And the Jews were the country that was being oppressed. So let me give you more context. So remember the passage where Jesus says, if someone asks you to go a mile, go 2 miles. And in our American culture, we like, oh, that's nice. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean anything to us. But here's what it meant to them. It meant everything to them. Because what would happen is, it didn't make any difference. If you were Jewish, it didn't make any difference what you were doing. If a Roman soldier tapped you on the shoulder and said, hey, you need to carry my bags, then you were forced to carry his bags for 1 mile. You're right in the middle of a project. It doesn't make any difference. You have to stop doing your project and you have to carry it 1 mile. Now imagine how inconvenient that would be. And imagine how humiliating it is. The Romans were saying, listen, our stuff is more important than your stuff. So you put away what you're doing and you carry it with me. It's that kind of oppression that they lived under all the time. All the time. You know what Jesus was called? Jesus was called Son of David. They looked at Jesus, and here's what they thought. Jesus is going to be like David. Let me tell you about David. David was a bad dude. He didn't, listen, let me tell you what. When David was in power, people didn't mess with Israel. He was a mighty warrior. He wasn't afraid to fight. Obviously, he was a good trainer. And let me tell you what, when David was king, nobody messed with Israel, and that's what they wanted. Now, let's talk about Jesus for a minute. Because you say, well, let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is just like this. Jesus was like this mellow guy, man. You know, he wouldn't hurt a fly. You know what I mean? He wouldn't swat a fly. Let me tell you about Jesus. I don't know about a fly, but let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus took care of business when it was appropriate to take care of business. See, it's interesting to me because people get concepts that are completely not accurate to what the Bible says. You know, let me give you, for instance, the concept of if I gave you a concept of an angel, many of you, your concept of an angel would be some little kind of overweight baby with wings and a little harp floating around. Do you know what I mean? Let me tell you, where do you get that? Amen. Because let me tell you what, you don't get that out of the Bible. The Bible talks about these angels as many of them, they show up on the scene and they're not a little baby with wings and a harp. They are 8 foot tall, they're 10 foot tall, they are powerful and they're mighty. Let me talk about Jesus for a minute. Because what you don't recognize probably about Jesus is, and you can remember this, who is the one who goes into the temple and straightens them out? And watch this. And how does he straighten them out? See, we're not talking about your perception. We're just talking about what does the word reveal to us about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what the word reveals to us about Jesus Christ. He is not afraid to get things in line when it's appropriate to get things in line. And he goes into his father's house, he goes into the temple, and things are out of line. And you know what he does? Watch this. He walks away. And he walks away, and he doesn't walk away to make a bench. He doesn't walk away to make a table. He doesn't walk away to do any carpentry, but he does walk away to make something. You know, the Bible reveals that he walks away to make something of? He's making a whip. Jesus, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just making a whip. Right? And what does he take that whip? He takes that whip into the temple and he's going to straighten things out. That's Jesus. And they see it. And they long for the day that Jesus is not only going to straighten the religious leaders out, but he's going to straighten the Roman leaders out. They can't wait for that day. Let me give you one more true story. You can look it up in your Bible. It's there. They come with a legion to grab Jesus. And all of a sudden, the whole legion is down on the ground. They are all wiped out on the ground looking up at the sky. And if you read it, Jesus has got to kind of gather their thoughts again. You know what I mean? What happened? I don't know what happened. Here's what I know. The Bible says they're down on the ground looking up at the sky. Yeah. They're all knocked down. The whole legion is knocked down. And Jesus, if you read it, he's kind of got to gather them up again. And you'll read it, and it's kind of like, hey, guys, get up. Remember what you came? You came to get me? Here I am. Come on. Remember, the Bible says nobody took his life, but he gave his life away as a ransom. All I'm telling you, and I'm not, listen, and I'm not saying that there's sometimes that Jesus wasn't extremely a mellow guy. I'm not saying that he was, there wasn't times that he wasn't mellow. Here's what I'm saying. You know what? That they knew that there was times that Jesus would straighten things out. He wasn't afraid to straighten things out, and he had the power to straighten things out. Are you kidding me? And they saw him do supernatural things. Remember when they were going to take Jesus? They were so mad with what he said. Jesus made a lot of people mad. They were so mad at what he said, particularly if you're religious. They were so mad at what he said, they take him to the edge of the cliff, and they're going to throw him over the cliff. And the Bible says he just walked through them. How'd he do that? I don't know. You know what? How did he feed the 5,000? How did he feed the 4,000? How did he heal the sick? How did he do all? I'm telling you how he did. He did it supernaturally. And so they're waiting for this incredible. How many know supernatural power is more powerful than natural power? Hello? And they recognize, oh my goodness, we're going to have the king that is going to be so awesome, because he's going to, just like he straightened out the Jewish leaders, he's going to straighten out these people. The week before this story, they are putting palm branches before him, hailing him as he comes into Jerusalem. You know what? And all their minds think, let me tell you what he's going to do. He's the son of David, and he's going to bring back the strength of Israel. The apostles, what are the apostles doing? The apostles are arguing. What are they doing? Right before this, they're arguing who's going to be on the right side of him. Because they all want to be there when Jesus said, oh, yeah, you, Rome, you guys are going to have to, here, you guys are going to have to carry their stuff now. And they all want to be there to say, yes. That's what they want. So what happens? The very thing that they have a picture of, the very thing that they think is going to happen, doesn't happen at all. Jesus is beaten. And he's bruised, and he's bloody, and he's hung on a cross, and he dies. Peter is gone to cussing again. Thomas doesn't even know if he believes anymore. And the other 11 are hiding in fear. And they come to this place. And their world is turned upside down, because, you know what, at first, what they thought was going to happen didn't happen. Have you ever been in a place where you think something is going to happen a certain way, and you get disappointed because it doesn't happen that way? Hello, somebody. Maybe somebody over in this section. Thank you. And that very thing that you thought it was going to go like this, and you anticipated it was going to go like that, but it didn't go like that at all, and it can cause you to just be deflated. And God speaks to these ladies, and God speaks to us today and says, no. I want you to catch what I'm really doing. Because I've promised never to leave you or to forsake you. I promise that which Satan means for your destruction, God will turn it around for your good. It might not look like it now, but I'm doing a new thing in your life. Recognize that I promise never to leave you. Recognize, count it all joy when you go through trials. Listen, I have not changed my mind. I am for you. I was for you yesterday. I'm for you today. You know what? And I will be for you forever. Amen. But we can look at situations and we can anticipate that they're going to go this way. And when we don't, we think that God has forsaken us. We think that God has abandoned us. And I'm here today to say, you know what? God hasn't abandoned these ladies and God has not abandoned you. But we do need to be perceptive. Look at your neighbor and say, we do need to be perceptive. Because they are, listen, guys, they are missing it. And they're not missing it by a little. They're missing it by a mile. They're totally off base. They're coming in a defeated attitude, thinking that Jesus, you know what, was defeated. Are you kidding me? The resurrection, the cross is the epitome of victory. Amen. Because on the cross is where our sin was nailed on that cross. Jesus took our sin. I'm telling you what, you can't look and see something more victorious than the cross and the tomb that was emptied. But they're not looking at it that way. So I have three things to teach you. And it doesn't take a long time to teach this because it's so simple. Look at your neighbor and say, sometimes the most simplest sermons are the deepest sermons. They come back, verse 2, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, verse 3. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus, and it happened that they were greatly perplexed. Here's what I want to point out first. My first point is this. Why didn't they hear it? Why didn't they hear it? Hear what? Why didn't they hear what Jesus told them? Why didn't they hear what Jesus told them? The Bible says, in Matthew chapter 16, watch this up on the screens with me. Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 21, starting with Matthew 16, 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. Watch this. Jesus told them this. He prophetically knew what he was going to do. Watch this. This is the most important part. And be raised when? The third day. Why are they coming? Why are they perplexed? Why are they coming back and going, man, we don't understand what's going on here. Where's Jesus? Why are they doing that? Because Jesus had already told them that. You say, yeah, but did Jesus tell the sisters that too? Yeah, we'll look at it. Look, Luke chapter 24. Look at 6 through 8. Guys in the back, do you have this? Luke 24, 6 through 8. I'll read it to you because I got it. He is not here, but is risen. Remember, this is the angels speaking to the ladies. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day raise again? He's telling the ladies this. The ladies knew. Why? Because Jesus had told it to them themselves. You said, but Pastor, they didn't know. Well, here's my question to you. How come they didn't know? Because they were told. Look at your neighbor and say, I think Pastor's setting us up. Here's my question. When God is doing something, here's my question. How come you don't know? How come you don't know? Because let me tell you about God. God is speaking to you. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. God is speaking to us. So what's going on? What's the underlining principle of what's going on? Well, look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 13. Right up here on the screens. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. How many know Jesus spoke in parables? Now, but catch it, because we think Jesus spoke in parables to kind of fake us out. He didn't speak in parables to fake us out. That's a misunderstanding of Scripture. Let's read and see why he spoke in parables. Therefore, I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. I want to make it very simplistic that they can get it. That's what he's saying. Next verse. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says. Now Jesus is giving you insight. He's saying, let me tell you what. Here's what's really going on with people. Not the con. Has anybody ever spoke to you? And my wife does this. I find this hard to believe. I find this hard to believe. My wife asked me to do something. And you know what? 3 days later, she'll go there and it's not even done. And she'll say kindly to me, you know, Drew, how come you didn't do this? And I'll say, do what? Hello, somebody. I know there's no men here. I know there's no women here that can relate to anything what I'm saying. And they'll say, I don't even know what you're talking about. And she'll say, I asked you to do that 3 days ago. And I'll think, as God's mind was, I think, I didn't even hear her say that. And I'm totally serious. I'm totally serious. I will say to her, honey, I'll say this to you. Honey, I don't think you said that to me. Now, I'm not trying to blow smoke. I'm totally serious when I say, honey, I don't think you said. Listen, I mean, ladies, how many know this? She said it to me. That's right. Come on, somebody. See, let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus has the intuitiveness. He has the insight to blow the smoke out of the room. He has the integrity to tell us what's really going on when God speaks, but we don't hear him. So no, God didn't say anything. No. God spoke to these ladies. He told them exactly, I'm going to come back the third day. And they're like, man, I'm perplexed. I don't even know what's going on. We thought the body was going to be here. And God's like, are you kidding me? Yeah. Well, we need to say, what's the application to us? Yeah. God speaks to us sometimes and we don't even hear what he's saying. Yeah. Why? Well, he's going to tell us. And then the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled. He's saying, you know why they don't hear? Here's why. Isaiah told us. Here's why. Hearing, you will hear and shall not understand. You hear it, but there's no application to you. You don't even get it. Watch this. And seeing, you will see and you don't perceive. You see it, you hear it, but you don't really perceive what's going on. You hear it, but you think, oh, thank God. Thank God. Oh, I came to hope. Praise God. This is awesome. This is a great sermon. Richard really needs to hear this. Hallelujah. Richard, it's for you today. Anthony, hallelujah. Anthony needs to hear this. Sir, I'm so glad you guys came because you needed to hear this. See, you didn't perceive that the message was for you. Hello, somebody. Oh, thank God. Thank God, my wife. Oh, praise God. I hope she's hearing this part, especially. Oh, you heard what you said. You heard the message, but you heard it thinking you didn't perceive that it was for you. Can I tell you, who is this message for today? Let me tell you what. This message is for me today. I need to hear this message. Who's this message for today? Let me tell you what. It's not for the person sitting next to you. I'll give you a hint. It's not for that person. And so you hear it, but you don't understand it. Because you apply it and think it. Why? Can I tell you why? Let me continue. Can I go a little deeper?
Can I tell you the issue? Here's the issue. Does somebody want to know the issue today? I'm just asking. It's not. And listen, this ain't a little, you know, a little softball. You know what I mean? Here, Joey, hit this one. You know what I mean? You know, like when you're trying to, like you got to, like Joey doesn't even know how to bat. You got to hit the ball. You got to make sure the ball hits the bat. This ain't like one of those. Okay. Do you still want to hear it?
Yes.
Here's what happens. We come in with these preconceived notions of how everything is. And one of the biggest preconceived notions that we come in that hurts us from we hear it, but we don't understand it, is this. Because we come in and we think, I got this. I've been saved. And can I ask somebody, if you've been saved for more than 5 years, raise up your hands. Okay, keep your hands up if that's you. I just want to talk to you. This sermon might be particularly speaking to you. I'm not saying it's not going to hit anybody. You can put your hands on. I'm just saying it could particularly, because here's what we do. We come into this place and God is speaking to us, but we come in with this preconceived notion. Here's the notion. Here's where we come in. We come in with this notion and it's like, I'm okay. I'm fine. You know, I'm a good husband. I'm a good wife. I got it down. I'm generous. There's nothing wrong with me. You know, can't you see the halo on my head? And so you will hear that message, but because of this preconceived notion. Have you ever heard a preconceived notion and it distorts? You can't even see the truth because it's so preconceived. Hello, somebody. You think you know that, you know what? The McDonald's is on this side of the street, right after this street. And you come up this far and you turn around and go back, and then you turn around and go back, and you do it 3 times, and it never hits your head to think, here, this is deep. Are you ready for this? It never hits your head to think, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, really, you'll think, oh, I don't know. You'll go to honey, I don't know what happened. They must have torn down the McDonald's. You know what I mean? They didn't tear down the McDonald's. It's just 4 blocks ahead. Listen, and I'm telling you what, that stuff happens to Christians all the time. So, Pastor, how do you know that? Because Isaiah prophesied it over us. This is why Jesus is using the prophet Isaiah to tell them why the people that he's speaking to, they don't get it. And can I just submit this to you? We're no better than they are. We can turn to another passage where the Heavenly Father is speaking to Jesus in an audible voice. Well, you think they'd get that, right?
Yeah.
And you know what the Bible says? That many of them thought it thundered. And some of them thought that an angel had spoken to Jesus. Here's the bottom line. Nobody heard God. But Jesus heard God. Can I tell you why Jesus was able to hear God? Because, thanks for asking. Because, here's why. Because the Bible says in Philippians that he humbled himself. That's why he was able to hear God. I mean, if anyone could think they knew everything, it was Jesus. And yet I can turn to a passage in John chapter 12 that Jesus will say this, I know a lot of things, but I'm not going to say anything except what my Father says. I am not here to do my will. I'm here to do his will. Oh my goodness. Do you hear our example? And we come to our church, we go to our house.
You know what I mean? We walk in, you know what I mean? Our kids aren't going to tell us anything. Our wife's not going to tell us anything. Pastor ain't going to certainly. Pastor ain't going to tell me anything. Why? Because I know everything already. And I would say humbly to these ladies, if they were here today, I would say, you know what, guys? You're not hearing what Christ, if you look at that text in Luke, the text where the angel is quoting Jesus, it's in red. In other words, Jesus specifically told these ladies himself. Go, Pastor, if Jesus spoke to me myself, I totally hear it. I proclaim that Jesus uses people all the time to speak to you. Number one, they didn't even hear it. Number two, they didn't even see it. They didn't hear it. They didn't see it. Now, can we take some time here? Luke chapter 24, we're in 24. Look at verse 5. Same story. Luke 24, look at verse 5. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? Why do you seek? Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? You know why they don't see it? Because they're looking at the wrong place. How many of us are looking for the answers and you think the answer to your problem is you think you're going to call your girlfriend? Your girlfriend who was drunk last night, amen? But you're going to call your girlfriend and you're going to think she knows something. You're going to call you're going to call one of your friends, you know what, and they spent 8 hours doing Halo, you know what, and what, you think they're going to come up with a revelation knowledge of wisdom for you, but that's who you're going to go. You're going to go to your aunt, you're going to go to your uncle, you're going to go to these people, and you know what, and they're not spiritually inclined. You're looking for the right thing, but you're looking at the wrong place. You ain't going to get the answers to that. You know, where do you think you're going to find? Ooh, I want to find a good woman, a lady who'll be integrous. She's going to be loyal to me. She's going to cook me breakfast. You know what? Where are you going to find her? I'll tell you what, I'm going to find her at the Red Onion. That's where I'm going to find her. Hello? Some of you are like, Red Onion? What are you talking about, Pat? Red Onion? I don't even know what you're talking about. All right. Let me contextualize my sermon to those of you who are younger than 30, okay? The Red Onion was like the hot spot that when I was, you know what, whatever. Yeah, I don't know about this. I just heard about this. But the Red Onion was the restaurant with the jammin', you know what, that all the people, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know what the equivalent is today. Maybe it's what, I don't know, you know what, who knows, you figure it out. But I'm just telling you, you're not going to find that integrous woman there. You're not going to find her there. You're not going to find godly answers by talking to the ungodly. Real quick, guys, you got to flow with me in the back. Go with me to Psalms, the first Psalm. I'll teach you something there. Are you guys learning something today? The very first Psalm. Yeah, that's. I hope you didn't learn that. That's the wrong. You're not listening, brother. Yeah, the first point, right? Watch this. Psalm. Blessed is the man. Who wants to be blessed? I am asking, who wants to be blessed today? Okay, well, let's listen to the instruction. Because God says, listen, there's someone who does something and those people are blessed. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits at the seat of the scornful. Why is that person blessed? Here's why. Because they never hear any of their bad advice. They're not standing. They're not sitting. They're not getting their counsel. You know what? When these people walk in, they walk out. They don't care what they're saying. They recognize what they're saying is foolishness. How many recognize the world has speaks a lot of foolishness? Come on, somebody. And they're acting like they know something. You know what I mean? They're acting like they know what's going on. I mean, I'm just telling you, crazy foolishness nowadays. And what's happening is the scornful, people who are scornful towards the things of God. They think they know everything. And you know what? Misery loves company. So they hang out together and they all agree that they're right. And they all agree that God's wrong. They agree that God's wrong. They agree that God doesn't even exist. They all agree that you're all crazy because you believe in the beginning that God created the heavens and earth. Let me just take 30 seconds to teach you something. You want to talk about something unscientific? I don't care of how many times they talk about how scientific, Darwinism is. Let me just tell you what, particularly if you're young, Darwinism, you know what, is the craziest notion in the world. Just go to the mathematician and let the mathematician tell you how logical, how practical it is that one cell would be able to reproduce itself. Just ask the science. Have you ever been able to do that? What will they tell you? They'll tell you, no, never, ever, 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 ever. And this is so scientific. And then ask them what are the chances of that happening. And they'll tell you. You know what? Well, 10 to the 148 billionth power for it to happen one time. And you know what? And Christians feel like we are the ones who are unwise. Go to the mathematician and find out how crazy, ridiculous, unscientific the Darwin theory is. Here, where do you want to go? To the, go to the physics professor and ask him. I don't know about you, but I've used this illustration, but it needs to be repeated. You know what? Here, just tell your kids, clean up the garage. Clean up the garage. And then hand them 4 sticks of dynamite. And say, here's what I want you to do, son. I want you to clean up the garage, light it, run real fast. The thing's going to explode. When it explodes, it's going to come back together. But when it comes back together, the screwdrivers are going to automatically go where the screwdriver drawer goes. You know what? The hammers are going to go to the hammer drawer. You know what? All the thing is just going to come back together in complete, totally order. And you know what we'll call that? We'll call that, you know what? We'll call that the theory of evolution. It is craziness. And listen, not only is it crazy, it's crazy unscientific. So how can they believe that? What is the magic wand? Do you know what the magic wand is? Here's what it is. You ready? Here's what the magic wand is. Time. 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 Time's their magic wand. Time is what they believe over billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of years this happened. Well, just get a rusty can. Just get a totally perfect can and see what time does to it. It's one of the laws of physics that things do not go from order to more order. Where do they go? They go from order to what? Somebody help me out. We're supposed to believe that. And we walk in shame. And I'm just telling you what. It is absolutely craziness. And these women, they can't see it. And let me tell you why they can't see it. They can't see it because they're looking in the wrong place. You want to find, you know what Jesus says? You want to find the answer?
then, you know, read your Bible every day. Just do a tenet, just a simple instruction that we give people every Sunday and every Wednesday. You know what? Go to the information table. Get a sheet. I'm not asking, oh, Pastor, you should read your Bible. You should read your Bible, the whole Bible. Every year you should read your Bible through the year. Oh, great. Great, great, great. Try it, okay? And when you're falling asleep, you know what? Because you have to read four chapters, you know what I mean? And you don't remember any of the chapters that you read. You know what I mean? Did you read your Bible? Yes, I read the whole Bible in the year. What'd you remember? None of it. I have a simpler philosophy. And listen, please understand, if you want to read your Bible through the year, that's an honorable thing to do. That's a great thing to do. It's a great thing to do. But I'm asking you, can you just read a chapter a day? I would rather you read a chapter a day and be awake and really catch what God is saying. Then you read your whole Bible and you fall asleep through half of it. All I'm saying is, you know what? If you want spiritual answers, if you want, God's ways are higher than your ways. You can't figure it out? Go to God. Look for where it should be. Why are you looking for that which is alive amongst dead things? Why are you looking back at your life? You know what? When you used to sex it up with your girlfriend, you know what I mean? And you were freaked out because she called you and said that she might be pregnant. You know what I mean? You're like, ooh, I'm not ready to be a dad. Whoa. Don't look at those days as the good old days. Can I tell you what? Those were the bad old days. Don't look back at the times that you got so drunk that you know what? You could barely make it home and you can't remember what you did. Stop looking with envy to unrighteousness and start recognizing that wasn't the good old days. That was a bad. Thank God I am been delivered from my carnal life that I used to walk in. Don't look for blessings among that junk that you used to work, walk in and live in. And listen, if those good old days for some of you were just 3 weeks ago, then recognize today can be the first day of the rest of your life. Don't walk into condemnation. I don't condemn you. God doesn't condemn you. But he does say, hey, I love you. Let's get out of this mess that you're in. Let's stop calling foolishness wisdom. Are you catching anything?
Yeah.
And my last point, and did you learn something today?
Oh, yeah.
We got to see it. We got to hear it. And my last point, and we have to catch what God is doing. What is God doing? Can I tell you about this church? God is doing supernatural things in this church. There's people in this church, and they're coming on Sunday and Wednesday. They're reading their Bible. They're just humbling out. Maybe for some of them, they've been saved for a long time. For others, they've been saved just for a short period of time. But they're looking at things fresh. They have a willingness to say, God, I know that you're doing something new. But I don't want to assume that I know it all already. I want to come with a humble heart and say, God, what are you saying? Could it be that my marriage could get better if I would just start to hear what you're saying? Can I tell you when my marriage started getting better? When I started humbling out and recognizing that I needed help with my marriage. You know when I started to get free from lust? When I humbled out and recognized, man, I can't do this by myself anymore. This thing has a grip on me that I can't seem to loose. But you know what? But I know God will give me help. And when I started humbling out and started listening to what God said, he started saying this. He started saying, pray like this. Pray that you would hate sin the way I hate sin. And I started praying that, and one breadcrumb, just like Hansel and Gretel, one breadcrumb at a time, he just delivered me from lust. And God is not a respecter of persons.
See, will you hear God? Will you come into church with a humility that says, I don't know it all. Those are the days that my preaching is going to become really good to you. Will you have a willingness to say, I'm tired of looking at for the living amongst the dead. And all that old carnal thinking is wrong. I can't be blessed by being disobedient. And I've got to be willing to hear what God says and to do and see it God's way. And finally, will you be willing just to catch what God is doing? Just recognize, hey, it's not too late for you. You're not too old. You're not too carnal. You're not too anything for God. You're just what God wants. But you've got to be willing to, when God says, come this way, that you have humbleness to listen to his direction. Amen. Sweetie. So before I want to pray real quick. If something that I was said spoke to you, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, you know what? Why do I do that? Because I just want you to know this is a private time. It's not what your business is, not anybody else's business. After we're done, I'm not going to ask you to come up. You know, I just want to pray with you. I just want you to say, you know what? Right now, today, before you get outside, to say, God spoke to me and I want to respond to him. I want Pastor to pray that I'd start to hear God and be obedient to him, that I'd start to see what God wants me to see. If that's you in any way, big or little, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you with every head bowed and every eyes closed. Who's that for? Father, I thank you for those who have their hands raised in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you are our helper, and I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you will help us. I thank you that we're not here by accident. This message isn't coincidental. You knew who was going to be here. You knew what was going on over in their life. Father, I thank you that you will help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. It's interesting because those times that I'll say something, a lot of times he'll even respond to me. Can you do this? Sure. And then a couple days later when it's not done and I say something, then he's like, are you sure you said that? I don't remember you saying anything like that to me. How does that happen? You know how that happens? Because we become... Well, one of the reasons is we're so familiar with each other. That's why when he said, how many of you, is particularly those of you who have been, you know what, in a relationship with Jesus Christ for at least 5 years. 5 years and up, you're probably more susceptible to hearing but not hearing than those who just walked in the door where everything is fresh and new. Do you think that when we were dating, do you think he missed, he was probably hanging on every little word, right? He's just, oh, what can I do for you, right? Right? But what happens over time? Over time, we become so familiar and we know everything. We're not humble. We function in whatever is going on in our lives, and we're doing it. It's like you ever driven somewhere and then all of a sudden you look up and man, you're like so much further and you don't even remember the whole path from here to there because we get so in a routine of just doing it. Recently, and this is so important for us because I had experienced exactly what Pastor Drew is talking. You ever have a situation in your life, and in the situation that you're in, it's here. I'll talk about me, and then you make the application for you. Okay, I'm gonna talk about my details, and you make the application for your details. So, I had gotten in a place where I was really just sad a lot about something, just very sad. And I was sitting on my bathroom floor and I was cleaning in the bathroom and the Lord said to me, you don't have your joy. You're not joyful like you used to be. It's like, yeah, I know. I'm not. Like, I knew that. This had been a process of time. I knew I was changed. I knew I was different. I knew that I wasn't the person that I used to be. And I knew why. I knew all the details of everything that had happened. I also know the Word of God. So why was I in that place on that day when I know the truth? I'll tell you why. Because time had just beat the truth out of me. Time had taken its toll. Many attempts and failure had left me with, this isn't going to change. It is what it is. It's not the first time, you know, it's not your first time around the block, you know what I'm saying? I've tried and tried and tried and tried and tried to fix this situation. And you know what the truth is? I wasn't the one in control of fixing it. I was kind of just a victim of what was going on. It wasn't like it was even my choices. So when the Lord said to me, you don't have your joy, it's like, yeah, of course I don't. You know what I mean? Of course I don't. Who was that on at that point? See, I couldn't control the situation that was going on. But knowing God's word, should I have let my joy get stolen from me? I shouldn't. So at the end of the day, it is what it is. And I can't fix that. But I can do that which God has told me to do, that I would have not have lost my joy. So the reason why I didn't have my joy, and you know what we do? We'll say, well, yeah, but that's because he, she, it, you don't know, you don't understand, right? That's what we do. And what we're really doing is we're exalting something. We're giving something way more power in our life. We're doing it than the Word of God. And so when God said, you don't have your joy, you've allowed your joy to be taken from you. And even though I couldn't control the circumstances, I'm the only one who's in control of my joy. And so I was the one who was responsible for not implementing the Word of God in my life. And it's not like I didn't know it, but when God pointed it out, it convicted me. It's one of his jobs. And he let me know, you've just settled in. You're allowing this to be like this. And whatever your situation is, I don't know what your situation that you're allowing. Maybe you're not the victim in it. You know what I'm saying? We make ourselves victims. And when we let whatever exalt over this, right? Maybe you're the victim in it. Maybe, you know what? You're struggling with something. Maybe you're the person who's struggling with something. But either way, there's truth in God's word that is for us, you know what, that we can get out of it. Let me read you a scripture. This is in John chapter 1, verse 14. It says, and the only Son, he's talking about Jesus, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Truth, Jesus didn't just come with grace. We all know about the grace. We all love the grace. You know what? We interlock grace and mercy. You know what? Kind of the same thing. You know what? That God has been there for us. That God is there for us. That God doesn't require us to be perfect. That God loves us in our imperfections. Like, we get all that. But it's not just grace, guys. It says he came with grace and truth. And the truth for me is that the joy of the Lord is my strength. That he wants me to be, I'm trying to think of a couple more joy scriptures, but I'm to be, he wants to give me unspeakable joy. Great joy. See, I have to take that truth too. Now, do you think in all of the years, through the years, that my joy, that I was settling into, okay, this will never change, okay, I can't do anything about this, okay, I'm trying to manage this, in all of that time, it's so funny, I just totally lost my train of thought right now where I was going, hang on, it'll come back. In all of that time that was happening, the truth was there for me. But I was not applying truth over what was going on. I was not keeping my mind renewed to what the Lord said. I was very, very busy living in the situation. And so I had heard, I knew plenty of word, and trust me, in those years, I heard plenty of word. But every time I would hear something, you know, if I hear, oh, you know, we need to, you know what, oh, we're overcomers, you know, who knows what would have applied to that, right? Trust me, I heard plenty of word. I've never stopped listening to the word. But for me, when I would hear that, that did not apply to my situation. Because that particular situation had been beat down into the ground. Therefore, it is what it is, and I'm just trying to get through this, and I'm just managing what I can. You know what I mean? I'm doing the best I can with what I cannot control. Is that what I'm supposed to do? The best I can with that which I cannot control? Or am I supposed to, John 8:32, and you'll know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. See, I'm supposed to know the truth and then get set free by that truth. How do I do that? I do not exalt the situation and the circumstances and the longevity and the who knows what else that got me in that boat. You know what? My emotions and my feelings and my yada, yada, yada. I don't exalt all of that above God's word. I exalt nothing above God's word. I receive the truth. But here's what was happening. Because I kept on hearing the word all that time, and I'm still hearing the word, but I had already, it's almost, here's what happens. Every time the word of God is preached, we're either going to receive something from it and apply it, and we become changed. Or, as in my case there, I reject that truth is for me. Because I was rejecting that truth was for me and my situation, I ended up not being set free from my joy, just being nibbled away to the point where I was just, okay, I don't have joy, and it's okay. You know what I mean? I'm not bitter. I'm not angry. I'm still functioning in life. Is that what Jesus came for? No.
the reason why I was not being set free, because I was not taking the truth to that situation that it could set me free. I had exalted that this is different because of all of these reasons. And I've been in the church, you know what, helping other believers in their relationship with Jesus Christ for a long time. And I can tell you right now, I'm not the only one who does that. Many of the body of Christ, we take situations and we say, oh yeah, but not this one. Doesn't apply to this situation. Doesn't apply to this or this or that. And you know what? We have too much relationship with Jesus and we know the word too much. We would never say that. We know better. And yet we do it. As if, you know what? And the only person we're fooling is ourselves. As demonstrated in my life that day when the Lord said, you don't have your joy anymore. You've allowed this to happen. And it's funny because he wasn't pointing past me to all the circumstances that I couldn't control. He was pointing right at me, talking right to me. You've allowed it to take your joy. It's not okay. And isn't it interesting, in that particular, that joy, you know what, ends up being my strength if I'll not relinquish it. What are we relinquishing from peace, joy, health? Who knows? What do we relinquish because, for whatever reason, we're allowing something to have more power than the words of Jesus Christ, than the teachings of Jesus Christ? You know how we know we're disciples? Let me read you one last scripture. Because this is how we are disciples of Jesus Christ. You know what? Is that we, this is in John chapter 8, verse 31. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciple. Was I holding to the teaching in that particular situation? No. Was anyone looking at me and going, whoa, what a great example she is of joy? I mean, there's no one being inspired to be joyful being around me. It's not like, remember when I first met Pastor Drew, one of the things that was so annoying about him is he was always so happy and joyful. It was like, oh, is this guy's fake? This guy's fake. You know what? And for those of you who haven't been, you know what? I didn't know him then. I didn't know the Lord then. We had just started working together. And of all the people that were in my workplace, he stuck out like a sore thumb. And one of the reasons why he stuck out like a sore thumb is because he was always happy and giddy. And I just thought, whoa, this guy is so fake. Like, what's his point? But actually, people should notice our joy. You ever gone somewhere and someone is just, they change the whole atmosphere of the room. Maybe you're a little bit down, but then you get around someone, you know what, and that person, next thing you know, you just feel a little bit better because they're like so happy and joyful and they affect you. You ever been in the opposite? Because the opposite is true too. You ever like been in a pretty good mood and everything's going fine, and then you walk into work where everyone's like, "Hey, this sucks," and they're all going, "It's like, wow." Next thing you know, you're like, "Yeah, it does." You know what I mean? So we can affect people. I wasn't affecting anyone, you know what, in a way that was inspiring them to be joyful. I promise you. But we should be. I should hold to the teachings of Jesus Christ as a disciple so that my light is shining. That it that was, as much as that was annoying, it was very noticeable. You know what I mean? And then later on, as I began to go to church and get to know him, I understood years later, oh, you know what I'm saying? It all made sense. You know what I mean? He wasn't fake. You know what I mean? He truly was just joyful and happy. But it was noticeable, and the Lord used it. And if I have my joy, trust me, it'll be noticeable, and the Lord will use it. And then we're able to infuse ourselves in with people who we can testify. I mean, I don't understand. Well, you seem to never have a bad day. Right? And then we tell them, well, and we tell them why. How we life happens to all of us too. But we're just supposed to be witnesses. Amen? Because we don't get through life just like normal people, because God has given us his truth, which empowers us. Amen?